The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
From the famous cathedral of football that is the Bernabeu Stadium, and probably the most famous fixture in the world, Real Madrid against Barcelona. Dembele, can he have a dart at Nacho? He hasn't really so far. Gets to the point, and Aubameyang is there! And Barcelona lead!
And brilliant by Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang.
Here comes the corner, Araujo! 2-0! Barcelona are bossing this game, and now they have clear water!
See it coming, really poor defensively.
Aubameyang through again. He's got Torres up there with him. Is Torres, will he take this one? He does. It's three. Barcelona here are having a party at the home of their biggest rivals.
I'm enjoying a lot. You know, I'm a team player, so I hear Ferran. He called me and I said, okay, I think he's alone, and I was sure he was alone, so I will give him. So yeah, we enjoyed a lot.
Aubameyang's in again here. Flags up though, it's not going to count. He finished it well enough.
Doesn't look offside. David Alaba looks as if he's playing him on.
Goal, yeah, onside. Aubameyang has two and Barcelona have four.
They've just been very naive, Real Madrid. Naive, poor, unprofessional. They've just been all over the place.
We play amazing game. We did really well. We could have scored much more goals, I think. We deserve much more goals.
We arrived in the dressing room right now. Everyone was screaming and shouting because we are happy. You know, it's always special to come over here and win. We know it's not easy to come over here and win the game, but we did it.
Is this a night to celebrate, or is it a night just to kind of relax and calm everybody down?
No, celebrate. But maybe it means that We came back today, maybe.
Oh, yep. Real Madrid fans, it really happened. Barcelona fans, it really happened. Xhaka Hislop with us here in the studio. Still the big talking point. 24 hours from the final whistle is, of course, Barcelona thrashing Real Madrid 4-0 at the Santiago Bernabeu. Noche Negra says, ass black night. Meanwhile, Sport goes, nice to beat you again. And in a very pleasant way of putting it. Gerard Piqué, we are back, I think sums up the feeling of most Barcelona supporters waking up today. For more on this, let's get both sides. Gemma Soler is in Barcelona. Sid Lowe is in Madrid. Sid, you, of course, literally wrote the book on our Clásico. This would be worthy of another chapter.
It's a really significant victory. It's a significant victory in terms of the way that it seems to fit with that process of history. You look, that there's been a really huge win at the Bernabeu for Guardiola in the 6-2, for Luis Enrique with a 4-0, for the Frank Rijkaard team with the 3-0. Of course, Johan Cruyff as a player came in 1974 and won 5-0 there. And so there are these kind of moments that mark their history. But on top of that is the fact of the moment they're in at the moment, and that sense of Barcelona needing this. And two or three of their players talked about the need yesterday. This is, of course, ending a run of five consecutive Clásicos that they'd been beaten in, which is the second longest run in the entire history of this fixture, in favour of Real Madrid, at least. And just the need that they had to prove that they can compete. And we saw this, didn't we, in Saudi Arabia in the Spanish Super Cup when they lost. And Gerard Piqué said, yes, we lost, but I feel like we're closer to winning. And people kind of laughed at them a little bit for that and said, how on earth can you be celebrating a defeat? Well, one of the reasons was because they could feel things starting to fall into place, and they did so really quite spectacularly on Sunday night.
Gemma, how things have shifted so dramatically and so quickly from a Barcelona perspective.
Hola, they have changed a lot in these a little bit more than 100 years when Xavi took the charge. He was appointed as a coach. It changed a lot. It's been really for fans three very tough years competing in El Clásico, not being able to win. And not only this, they weren't even able to compete most of that Clásico. So someone, a former player from the house created in La Masia, had to come back and to go back to the origins, following the philosophy of Cruyff, of Guardiola, taking again young players. And of course, they were very lucky and smart in the winter transfer market. And I'll say they signed four players, but I would say six, because I will add there Pedri, that he's 100% fit now, and Dembélé, because I think the factor Aubameyang with Dembélé, it's like two signings at the time of price of one.
You think, Shaq, we sat here and watched a lot of Barcelona under Koeman, post-Messi, everything was so depressing coming out, and not only off the pitch, but on it as well. You could just see the lack of cohesion. What Xavi's been able to do during, as Gemma says, what, this 100-day spell, it's quite extraordinary.
It really is. And keep in mind that there was some concern around the Xavi appointment, feeling that maybe it came too soon. This is Middle Eastern football, and though Xavi's a legend at the club, maybe it's just a step too far or a little bit too soon. But what you've seen from this Barcelona team is a growing confidence around an identity that Xavi brings. Performances to match. And now all of a sudden, regardless, this result doesn't change who I think is going to win the league or whether or not Barcelona finishes in the top four. But it changes the discussion around where these two teams are trending. And as much as some people thought that Barcelona had a chance to win this, I don't think anybody expected this scoreline. You look back at Real Madrid's performance in the Champions League against PSG, at Barcelona's own performance in Turkey in the midweek before this, and nothing suggested that we'd be talking about a scoreline this lopsided in Barcelona's favour. Yet still, this is a scoreline that flattered Real Madrid in so many ways. And that is the amazing thing that is the greatest takeaway. A week ago, we were talking about a Real Madrid midfield and how they coped with PSG and how they countered, and despite the age, how good they actually were. A midfield that did not stand a chance in this one. A rear guard that looked completely at sea against Barca.
We'll talk more about Real Madrid and where they went wrong in a moment, Sid. But overall, this is what La Liga wants, isn't it? Barcelona back to this sort of form.
Yeah, of course. And from the point of view of the Liga being competitive, from the point of view of having these two giant clubs able to really take each other on and for it to feel like a proper heavyweight clash, then I think it was significant beyond just Barcelona. I mean, look, when you look back on the kind of like the high point of the rivalry, 2012, 2013, you see it as kind of Guardiola against Mourinho, but also the quality of the two teams. Everybody, of course, looks at Messi and Ronaldo, and I don't think we're going to get that back, but we do need, I think, a Barcelona that can compete. Obviously, I mean, for what it's worth, I think we also need a Sevilla that can compete and Atletico Madrid that can compete and as many strong teams as possible in La Liga, but this really does feel like it matters, I think you're right, beyond just Barcelona itself.
Here it is then, the golden question, Gemma. Could they have done this with Lionel Messi?
Yes. Not sure, not this way, because if Messi was in the team, they couldn't afford four signings, of course, would be in a different way. But I don't think you can say that with one of the best player of the history of this club would do damage to him. Now, of course, there will be probably less signings. The attack will be 80% focus in him, in Messi, because there was a Messi dependence, of course it was. But I don't think you can say that Barcelona with Messi were worse. That Barcelona were worse in many aspects of the game, because I think one thing that Xavi has brought is physicality. They are better, they are more fit, and because in yesterday's El Clásico, Barcelona were more tired than Real Madrid. Let's remember they played in Turkey on Thursday. So Xavi brought mentality, personality. He went back to the origins. He studied very well Madrid. He was very well aware of the flaws, the parts that were not good. So I don't think it's that now there is no Messi. They can be. They are better. They will be better. I don't think that's fair.
You know, I'm going to keep banging this drum, Sid. Was Messi leaving a blessing in disguise?
I think it allowed for a construction of something new, but I don't think it was a blessing in disguise in the short term. And I think that possibly Xavi would have been able to find a role for him. But it's certainly true that it would be a different type of team. And Gemma was talking there about the physicality of the side. And it absolutely was part of the thinking, not so much of Xavi, although of course he was party to the conversations, but of the sporting directorate during the winter transfer window, to take players from the Premier League precisely because of the physicality that they bring with them, that level of intensity and that level of athleticism. You look at Adama Traore as the most obvious example, but I don't really think it's just about him and Aubameyang, and even Ferran Torres are players who are that little bit more dynamic, that little bit more, maybe more direct. Now, if you have Messi in there, of course, you structure the team slightly differently, but you would still want those players on either side of him. So I think in the long term, maybe it was, but only because, of course, the financial situation was such that they basically had no choice anyway. And at some point, maybe that had to be dealt with. But I think had Xavi been in charge in the summer, which isn't to say, by the way, that Koeman didn't want Messi. Koeman absolutely did want Messi. Then maybe the construction of this team would have been different and there would have been a way of finding a place for Messi. Because I still think within the Barcelona structure, Messi would still have had a very, very good season this season.
Xhaka, you summed it up. From a Real Madrid perspective, 4-0 flattered them.
Yes.
How, as professional players who have been so good and look so solid for the majority of the season in Militao and Alaba, have that sort of night that they had?
I'm struggling to explain it. I'll be honest with you. And the first goal summed it up. Alaba's, I'm not sure how we're classed that effort at cutting off Dembele's cross. And then Militao, the most page one on basics of defending. Don't let a striker get across you. And we are talking about supposedly two of the best centre-backs, certainly playing for one of the biggest clubs in world football, making basic errors and rightly being punished for it. And again, this is a week, 10 days removed from us hailing a team performance against PSG. And to see this in their biggest club fixture of the season, I don't know how to put that in any kind of perspective in today's football. But it speaks to that downward trend of Real Madrid that, again, it's hard to explain. You have this gap at the top of the league. Mm-hmm. Maybe things are getting easy. But when you put that into a greater context around who they are, what they showed they can be in the Champions League against PSG, what is going to be asked of them going forward, it's a concern for Ancelotti and a concern for the club, because I'm not sure how you arrest that.
Who's getting the blame, Gemma?
Ancelotti, he actually admitted himself, but of course also the players, because it was a disaster defensively and they couldn't do anything. I was there, the body language of that players was just awful. So I think it's 50-50% Ancelotti and the players. And I don't know, Sid probably knows better, but I've heard that fans are talking about Mourinho, and this name, it's only on the Madrid's mouth when there is a desperate situation.
Yeah, but the thing is, this is a team that Ancelotti reminded us, Sid, obviously, that is 9 points clear at the top of the table in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. Big picture, what will be the ramifications of this result?
I think the ramifications of this result will be seen in the summer rather than now. I don't think there's any desire to take any kind of drastic action now. Bear in mind that Ancelotti came in partly because there wasn't anyone else. And that sounds like a terribly cruel thing to say about a manager who has an extraordinary career as Ancelotti has. But he basically came in because Madrid were looking for a manager. And a chance conversation leads them to Ancelotti. So I think a decision gets made in the summer based on where they want to take it next and who is available. And I think Ancelotti always knew that he was partly here as a kind of short-term solution. The thing is, of course, 2 weeks ago, he looked like a very, very good short-term solution, and now less so. But it was always, I think, the idea that he was someone that would be the right man in this particular moment. And while he takes the blame for yesterday, I think there is also a recognition that actually he's managed the squad, at least, in terms of the personalities and the group dynamics, really quite well this season.
So Real Madrid are 9 points clear at the top of the table of Sevilla. They're 12 points clear of Barcelona. They take a look, shall we, of the remaining fixtures that are left. You might be able to connect the dots and see where I'm going with this. Gemma, is there any chance? Any chance?
Yes, of course, there are mathematically chances, so we cannot say it's impossible. I think it's very difficult because Real Madrid only has lost 3 games, counting yesterday in La Liga. So now we're talking about dropping 9 points and waiting that Barcelona beats Rayo Vallecano and the rest of the game. So I think it has players, a squad, to keep that distance, but it might be long season La Liga for Carlo Ancelotti because they have to fight also quarterfinals against Chelsea, tough rivals, and now they have a week, 15 days to think about it. They can be long as well mentally after this terrible defeat, and I think the key is going to be in the next match, Balaidos, because they have 2 games away from home, Balaidos against Celta and then Stamford Bridge. If they drop points in Balaidos, nerves and could come back and they can be nervous again, of course.
Give us a percentage, Dr. Sid.
Very, very low indeed. 2%, maybe not even that. But the difference now, I suppose, is that Real Madrid will have to keep performing to close out this league title rather than feeling like they could ease into the home straight. And I think that obviously will have ramifications for their Champions League chances.
Well, that's interesting. You mentioned it, and Gemma mentioned it as well, Shaq. Looking ahead to that clash against Chelsea, this result kind of changes the narrative slightly, doesn't it? After that win against PSG, it's almost like, yeah, you did that, but look what happened at the Bernabeu.
Listen, if Real Madrid beat or even drew it with Barcelona and went on to win the league, I think this season would be remembered for their season would be remembered for that PSG result and how Ancelotti managed a squad that maybe is a little bit on the decline, but still got them to the quarterfinals, still got the better of an expensive PSG. That Barcelona result, I think, changes that narrative to the point that Chelsea game will determine how this season is remembered.
Do you think so?
If Real Madrid are knocked out easily and convincingly by Chelsea, I think there are a lot of questions about Ancelotti and his future. They get the better of Chelsea, then all of a sudden that becomes a discussion that, yeah, okay, we had an off day against our biggest rivals, but we got to a Champions League semi-final and depending on the draw, see what happens. So it changes, that Chelsea tie, I think, changes the narrative around Real Madrid's entire season on the back of that result. So it has taken on a far increasing significance.
Do you agree, Gemma?
Yes, definitely. It can be... it changes everything, the way to face these quarterfinals, the Champions League, and it's like yesterday El Clásico, thinking on the trying to clinch La Liga title, it was not that much important. It was just only 3 points. They had plenty of distance, but it's the way they lost it. So if they lose in another shameful way against Chelsea, of course it will be very complicated that Carlo Ancelotti continues. And looking into the future, because the worst thing about Real Madrid is, maybe they will almost for sure win La Liga, but thinking on next season, even though probably Dembélé will sign Real Madrid, there's a lot of work to do. Well, bitter rivals, FC Barcelona, they have a future now after this clash. So it's a complicated situation for Real Madrid today.
The concern obviously being going into that clash against Chelsea, if you think back to what happened last season, and indeed just what happened on Sunday, Sid, is that midfield looked old.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a contradiction, isn't there? That after the PSG game, we talked about how much we love watching Luka Modric play and how good a player he is. But of course, if you strip away, and it's not easy to do, and maybe it's not entirely fair to do it, but if you strip away the emotion and the excitement of that last half an hour and how well Real Madrid played, you're left with a two-legged tie, during which three quarters of that two-legged tie, Paris Saint-Germain were not just the better team, but also controlled midfield. So if you really do want to pick out an outstanding midfielder across the two ties, maybe you go for Verratti rather than for Modric or Kroos or Casemiro. And yes, it's true they have their moments, and of course that can sometimes be enough to carry you quite a long way in the Champions League, because if you're a team that's capable of staying in the game and then being decisive when it really, really matters, that's fine. But you're right, there is that question mark. And I think there's another question which I think is very interesting. Earlier in the season, Ancelotti was very happy to openly say, yeah, we play on the counter-attack. Yeah, we play with a deep team and we try to release Vinicius. And when you've got someone as quick as Vinicius, why wouldn't you? After that Paris Saint-Germain game of them playing so deep, which, by the way, I don't think was purely about choice. I think it was about being pushed back by PSG. There was this kind of current of opinion in Spain that sort of says, well, Real Madrid really have to play higher at the pitch. They really have to press a bit more. And Ancelotti actually embraced this publicly. He said, yeah, we're going to try and play higher. We're going to try and push the team closer to the opposition, get more into the opposition's half. But of course, as soon as you do that, you change the structure and the nature of every game, and you make it particularly different for that midfield three. Now, I would actually argue more of a problem. This is more of a problem for Toni Kroos than it is for Luka Modric, even though Kroos is younger than Modric. But I do think that's a question mark. And then, of course, you start asking, at what point does Valverde or Camavinga come into the side to give you that energy? Because one of the things I think that was overlooked about PSG, the PSG game, at least in terms of the analysis, was perhaps the significance of a slightly more dynamic midfield in terms of that comeback, quite apart from, obviously, Donnarumma's mistake and so on.
Do you think Sid looks a bit tired, Shaq? It's kind of that post-Classico 24 hours. Obviously, Sid works hard. And it's even harder when you do this to your phone. Sid posted. Somebody said this is what happens when you throw a phone for Shaka to catch.
What?
That's not very nice, is it? Someone also said this is what happens when you ask Stevie Nicol to put your contact.
I think that's what happens when Gemma keeps calling you to give you a hard time. That's what it is.
Yeah. What happens to your phone? How did it end up like that?
I literally dropped it outside the metro by the Bernabeu on my way into the centre of Madrid. And trying to get a phone fixed, it went totally black, the screen, couldn't see anything at all, was smashed to pieces. Trying to get a phone screen fixed on a Sunday afternoon where most places are shut, it was a bit of an odyssey, but I got there in the end.
What a trooper, Sid. Thank you very much. Glutton for punishment, of course, is Sid, because earlier today he was on the Gavin Jules podcast. You can check that out now. That is available over on the website.
That really is punishment.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Let's switch our attention to England. Manchester United fans don't need reminding that they're not doing very well at the moment. Obviously, after what happened at the weekend, they've fallen to sixth in the table off the back of what was a poor week that saw them eliminated from the Champions League. Gary Neville is not happy. But you might be surprised about what he's not happy about. This is what the former Manchester United defender tweeted today. I remember a time when United players, managers, executives wouldn't be seen in their local Italian after a draw at home, let alone getting knocked out of Europe. This last week, we've seen a global tour of F1, concerts, cricket, and UFC events. This lot are tone deaf. Let's welcome in, shall we? Jan Arge Fjortoft. Jan, do you have a problem with this?
Yes, I do, because we didn't have telephones back in the days. If we had telephones back in the days, me and Shaka wouldn't even get a job, would we?
What? Front Shaka.
No. But what I do saying, Dan, is an interesting discussion. I understand where Gary Neville goes. But listen, I came to England in 1993. There was still a foot back in the good old days. And I say good old days with a quote, because that was not a good old days. And to say that that the players nowadays are so much worse than we were back in the days, I think Gary makes his point clear, but I think this need earn a more discussion. I came to English football when all the breweries were still sponsoring all clubs. Let's put it this way, on the bus home, we didn't only have vegetables.
Thanks for that, yeah. We're just seeing here Marcus Rashford there, and Lingard was with Zlatan. We saw Ralph Rangnick was at the cricket in Barbados. he did well there. That's a good show. Jadon Sancho partying in Dubai. You mentioned executives. Avram Glazer was at the F1 race in Bahrain. He queued for a free kebab as well. For a billionaire. Eric Bailly was it Espanyol. This seems a very strange fight to pick, Shaq.
It is. And because back in our day, to Gary's point, we lost games, but you knew where to go. And to Jan's point, without the presence of social media and everybody having a camera phone in their hands, everybody knew which restaurants you went to, what you did on an evening out, just to unwind and forget about it all. And you knew, you trusted you wouldn't be photographed. But of course, in today, there is nowhere that any of these players can go, quietly or otherwise, to have a meal or anything of the sort.
But this isn't quiet. This is partying in Dubai.
You just have to embrace the time that players are doing nothing differently. It's just that it's being posted in my mind. Yeah. And to your point, it's a strange fight to pick, given the moment that we're in.
But I think
that it's all about the time we're a part of. I mean, back in the days, we had footballers who had a chance to get a free T-shirt in London. We'll use £200 to travel down to get that one. the big thing, I mean, footballers, I know they are differently. This is a new generation. They have different tools. But I was a part of that development in the 90s. So at the back of the time when Arsene Wenger came to English football and winning trophies, and he said this is one of the reasons because of I tried to do something with the drinking culture. I tried to do something with what they eat and how we train, all that kind of thing. Fast forward to 2022. Gary's point is that I understand him to say that is okay to do when you're doing okay. You know, and I think that he's going direction of Manchester United when you seem that you can slip up the top four. I mean, then I don't see the strategy. And I guess all these players that have strategists saying that you can do this and you do that, we will help you with your posting. Some of these postings are scandalous. If you lose a game 4-0, you should not post anything before the next game. That is a good advice. And all these kind of things, that is one point. And the other thing is as well, I think that somehow this is a consequence of footballers, football clubs, numbers, earnings. I mean, I had an okay wage, but the space now between normal people and footballers are so enormous that I think that will provocate some people, and you will end up where we are now when we're discussing which country can own a Premier League club.
Out of everyone, Ralph Rangnick made the best choice, didn't he? Going to cricket.
I would have gone to the cricket.
The West Indies, fantastic. Yeah, most definitely. Of course, it's very unlikely that he will be manager next season. More time to watch cricket. If you take a look at the bookies, Mauricio Pochettino, of course, is someone we've discussed at length here. He is actually at 5-2. Ten Hag is the favourite to take over at United. Jan, we've talked at length, haven't we, about Pochettino and how he would be a good fit for United. But it was another disastrous weekend for him in France, PSG losing 3-0 against Monaco. Does all this take its toll on his stock?
Absolutely, I would think so. I think, but the book is based on also all sort of discussions on social media and all that kind of thing. I mean, there are so many Manchester United fans who have no idea about this manager, but they still want him. I mean, and Pochettino. I think it says a lot about the status of Manchester United at the moment. We just need some other clubs to be so not satisfied with the coaches and fire them so they can be Manchester United manager. What is all this about? I mean, back in the days, the best manager in the world should be in there. I think that, yes, I defended my Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I defended everything that, that was done at that time when they needed maybe that kind of manager when he came in. But it's all about timing. It's all about timing which managers are available. Conte was available for a while. Thomas Tuchel was available for a while. But Chelsea just waited for him. Remember back in those Christmas time when all they wanted for Christmas at Chelsea was Thomas Tuchel. Great decision. Now he's turned around the club. You can see Xavi what he's doing with Barcelona. Turn him around. Nothing talking about long-term perspective. And those are the managers that Manchester United need. Having said that, I mean, a manager, the best manager in the world, wouldn't save Manchester United at this time. They had to build a new football club. They put in Ragnik to do that. What I understand is they don't listen to Ragnik. So that is quite interesting to see how they develop a football club.
Is Pochettino the right pick, in your opinion, Jan?
I've always rated Pochettino as a great manager. I think this point that he hasn't won a lot, but if you then compare him with Ten Hag, I mean, if Pochettino was a manager at Ajax, he would win some football games as well and some trophies. So I think that you have to see what kind of manager you need to build and rebuild the club, and then you'll see what kind of candidates you have. I saw was it PSG who had 9 different candidates linked to them. I mean, hello, you have to have first a plan how you're going to build the club, and then the consequences are that kind of manager you have to bring in.
Jan back with us for extra time. As always, you can check that out over on our YouTube channel. Some interesting questions. I can just see them here, Jack.
Oh, really?
Using them already. But, some crackers for you.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Meanwhile, in the Bundesliga, it was a bad day, wasn't it, for Borussia Dortmund yesterday. They could only manage a 1-1 draw away against Cologne, so they are 6 points adrift of Bayern Munich. And I don't know how to sugarcoat this, but this is all Erling Haaland's fault, isn't it, Jan?
Well, this time, I must say, first of all, his guy who looks exactly like him scored the goals. But, I mean, if you saw the key thing in the second half when he was all on his own and the referee took him back. But yes, he should have scored a couple. He would have scored a couple. And he was very annoyed after the game because of the chances you showed. And also that big chance for Emre Can was fouled. And he was one against the goalkeeper. And the referee forgot there is something called advantage. So it was a frustrating day for Erling Haaland.
And, of course, a frustrating day once again for Borussia Dortmund, seeing that gap increase to 6 points, Jan.
Yes, of course. And Stevie Nicol will help me when we come into the weekend to make the excitement of Bundesliga again with Borussia Dortmund having the chance again. But this has been a story of Dortmund seasons. Always when you think they can get a bit closer, what will Bayern do? Yeah, they will hammer some team and Dortmund will lose a couple of points. But we still have a hope and excitement. Please, Steve Nicol, call me on my direct line.
Jan, just going back.
back to Haaland. Of course, a lot of excitement from Barcelona supporters, given that he put out that tweet yesterday saying how impressed he was with Barca's style of play and the comprehensive nature in which they beat Real Madrid. People, of course, putting two and two together and putting Haaland in a Barca shirt next season.
First of all, Dan, I guess you know more Spanish than me, but I learned that I was a spokesman for the Haaland family. So I have to use the Google Translate to say I'm not. That is point one. But point two was interesting. But point two, I was amazed by the reaction, because I think Barcelona were magnificent. I think Xavi, what he's done is fantastic. And Aubameyang, I mean, been a miracle for them. But, I mean, you have to give compliment to Barcelona without saying that Haaland, you think that Haaland will go there. I've said it again. I think that Barcelona just got an outsider chance.
Yeah, and what are you going to do when he goes to Manchester City?
same as I did when Sancho went to Manchester United. I find another player to stalk.
That a bit, Gio Reyna. Gio Reyna will be the next one stalking.
No,
him
Jude Bellingham. Jude Bellingham, Dan. He will be the best of them all. Remember when he's in the market.
There you go. Perfect. He's got players like conveyor belt of young players for Jan to stalk and tweet about their future. Meanwhile, obviously, it is tight, isn't it? At the bottom of the Bundesliga, it's going to be some fight. Bielefeld in big trouble. They are currently sitting second from bottom, of course. They lost to Mainz 4-0. All of the goals, Jan, were penalties.
Yeah, this is a funny. There were so many stats going out now in Mainz. I mean, and Bielefeld, like you say, big, big trouble. You felt that they were on a good move, and then now they got Felix Magath. But this is amazing.
Incredible stuff from Mainz. That is 36 straight penalties
well.
They've scored, Jan. Is that right?
Exactly. Fantastic stat. I didn't know about that stat before this game came up. I knew they were good at penalty, but this is where Xhaka and me play with with Eric Cantona and Letizia. I think they were the best penalty taker of their generation. And Xhaka, did you save any of them from them?
No.
Nobody did, by the way.
Xhaka's never saved a penalty.
I think Letizia only missed one in his career.
Yes.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it wasn't me.
No. How would you feel facing four penalties in a game? Fancy your chances?
To do what?
You know, maybe actually stop one, Xhaka.
But Dan, you must save that.
Dan, in your you got a good football quiz brain. Wasn't this Argentinian Palermo? What was his name? Who missed three in a game back in the days? Now I put
Martin
you on
Palermo. Yeah, Martin Palermo.
Yeah. Yes. I think he missed three in a game, and you see this game. And it's not only that they got the penalties; they're just scoring for fun as well. It was amazing to see.
Craig would tell us as well, he almost made Premier League history by scoring a hat-trick of penalties when he was at Derby, but had the third one, I think he missed or saved.
I got one penalty in the Premier League, scored two penalties, both very, very bad. Thank you, Stig Ogrovovic, that you helped me to my only Premier League.
Ivo Grizovic.
You can't pick up poor Oggy like
what
that.
What was your psyche taking a penalty, Jan? Obviously, don't miss. But like, what were you thinking?
No. But I was quite good one against the goalkeeper. But I was not a great penalty taker. I think I just got too much time to think. Gerd Müller once said, if I start thinking, it's too late. And I understand him, because in a penalty situation, there is so much time to think. And I think that the goalkeeper, although it's hard for him, but he's always the winner, whatever. Because if he let the goals in, everybody says, yeah, of course, that you can save a penalty. So that was a mind game in my head. But I had some good penalties and a couple of bad ones.
I think that's why Frank LaBeouf's so good at penalties.
Yeah.
There's no room to think.
If Frank starts thinking, it really is too late.
Thank you very much. Just a reminder, it's a quiet week, but ESPN AFC will be with you every single day. Be sure to join us. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Tadic, Taliafico on the burst here. Robbie waiting in the centre. Anthony waiting! Ajax waiting no more. The Clasica turned around. And Feyenoord on the floor in Amsterdam yet again.
Brilliant celebrations, though, wasn't it? Fantastic. From Anthony as Ajax came from behind to win the Clasica this weekend. Yeah, I think it's worth a yellow card, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd take a yellow card.
I'd take that for taking the shirt off. This is how things stand then in the Eredivisie after that victory. You can just see how key it was for Ajax. They remain 2 points clear of PSV. So, Anthony got booked, obviously, for taking his shirt off.
Do you understand?
And then, in injury time, he would get sent off for a second yellow for pretending to be hurt.
What?
Yeah, I know! Jan, have you ever seen anything so ridiculous?
I've seen a coach and a player sending himself off on the pitch. But what I liked in this situation, first of all, Antony looked like Benny Hill. That is point one. But secondly, I love the coach. I think it was a coach of Feyenoord or the coach there standing. He was just laughing. He didn't get involved. He wasn't annoyed. He was just laughing. I think that summed up the whole situation. And I'm so glad that the referee sold it for us. I think that he could have sent him straight off because that is the most terrible time of acting I've seen since, I will not say any film, but that was terrible, terrible, terrible.
No, tell us a film.
I'm in America. I can't say any film. I don't want to insult someone.
I like how committed to it Anthony was, though. Even after the game, he comes back on the field. He's limping. I'm like, go on. Give it everything.
Was it Tart? Who pushed him over? Was it Tadic? Or who came over?
I think it might be Tadic.
It's unbelievable.
Okay, Jan, stay with us because extra time will be coming up shortly. It is crunch time, isn't it? In CONCACAF World Cup qualifying, the US taking on Mexico at Azteca on Thursday. That's at 10 p.m. Eastern. Now, if you think back to the last time these teams met in Azteca, it was 1-1. Boom, back in 2017. Bradley would open the scoring, Vela with the equaliser, and reminiscing about that, Areola took time out to speak to us.
You know, it was very tough, and I remember the mentality was, let's try and get whatever we can from this game. And in comparison to that, I think now we're going down there to win. And that's a different mentality, and that's something that I think we truly believe. That we can do is to harm this Mexico side and put ourselves at the best position possible to win the following games.
There will be a special Football Americas with you live following Mexico against the US. Of course, a number of injuries for the US going into that game, including Serginho Dest, Weston McKennie, and Brendan Aaronson not available either for Greg Berhalter for that big tie. Not only important matches, of course, in CONCACAF qualifying, but also in Europe as well, as we're at the playoff stages. All of these games available on ESPN+. Plus, Portugal against Turkey on ESPN2 at 3 p.m. Eastern on Thursday.
Also on ESPN Plus on Friday, you have those five, all of them fascinating ties in African World Cup qualifying. They're available on Plus. Remember, they are played over two legs. That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much for watching. Be sure, though, to stay tuned as Extra Time is next. We'll be paying tribute to World Poetry Day in the only way we know how, Shaq.
What was that?
Get ready. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Shaka Hislop with us here in the studio. Jan Arne Fjortoff smiling away. He's always, always happy, Jan. I feel you have a very positive demeanour to life.
Yeah, I have. I've been travelling for 6 months. I'll stay home for a couple of weeks now. So next time you speak to me, I'm probably divorced.
Well, still smiling though. That's the most important thing. And when we're done. After everyone saw what happened last night with Barcelona, can people seriously still put Real Madrid ahead of Chelsea in the quarterfinals, Jan?
Yes, we can. I mean, they have so many experienced players. We saw that against PSG. We saw Benzema. I mean, his stats, phenomenal. Ancelotti, fantastic record. He will do his homework. But that will be an unbelievable game. I'm looking so forward to that.
Yeah.
With the old fox of Ancelotti against Thomas Tuchel, that you both know I rate very highly. And yes, that is going. Champions League is going to be amazing.
Yeah, it's kind of the standout tie, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It really is for all those. And Chelsea themselves having their own off the field issues, shall we say, though it hasn't really translated into a dip in form. So it's. It's nicely poised.
After seeing how Real Madrid were wrecked in El Clasico, would Mbappe have second thoughts on joining?
No.
No, you don't.
No, not at all.
No.
Nope. You want to be at a big club.
Yeah. But you want to be at a big club that are trending in the right direction.
Real Madrid are sitting top of the league, are in the Champions League quarterfinals. You come in to bring them back to former glories. I don't think.
You look back, you've got very old midfield behind you.
I don't think that result changes what Mbappe thinks.
No, Jan, would it make a difference to you?
For me or for another striker who wants to go to Real Madrid? But no, I mean, Real Madrid is very hard to say no to. And I think we have to be a bit realistic. Fantastic Barcelona, an unbelievable performance. But at the end of the day, Barcelona at the moment playing in the Europa League, Real Madrid will win the league and they're playing in the Champions League. So I think Barcelona should win a couple of more games before they will be up there. Do I think that they could compete with Real Madrid next year in La Liga? Absolutely.
Jan, did Barcelona's performance against Madrid make you really worried about your former team, Eintracht Frankfurt, playing them in the Europa League quarterfinals?
That is the best draw ever for Eintracht Frankfurt. That is exactly what you need at this stage of the season. You're coming to an end in the Bundesliga, everything you've done. You knocked out Real Betis in a quite dramatic game. All goals coming, injury time, 90th minute, and then 120th minute for Eintracht Frankfurt. For them, it's a fantastic draw. And today, the Bundesland president, so it's the state president, the governor, said that now they can have a full house against Greuther Fürth and Barcelona, of course. So this is going to be one for the memory book for the Eintracht Frankfurt, the football club, and all the fans in and around the city.
Will you go to that game, Jan?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I hope so. But I hope that someone will also send me to work on that game. So I will see. We have the rights for this game. But we have another club called Bodeglimt who is playing Roma. So we'll see what they will do.
So Jan wants someone to pay for him to go to the game.
Is that your decision? You're the one who makes that decision, no, Dan?
I would send Jan to a completely different game just to annoy him. Jan, what's your take on the whole Messi? We were just discussing it during the show. I'm intrigued to get your view on it all. Is it a blessing in disguise that he left?
Well, you should never say that to one of the best players in the world. Messi would have probably done his business again for Barcelona. It's a bit blasphemy to just talk about him bad. But I think that these dreams of him now coming back, I think then Xavi need to kill some darlings. I mean, he will build up something now in that midfield. And I don't think that would be right to take him back as it is now. No, absolutely not.
Xhaka, Barca seem to have found a way to get back to winning ways with a winning mentality sooner than anyone expected. But why haven't Manchester United not been able to do that for almost a decade now? Do they lack big club mentality?
I don't think Manchester United lack big club mentality. I think they lack a sense of identity. And that's the one thing I think Xavi has brought back to Barcelona. Somebody who knows the club has restored that identity to them.
And what about that that Norwegian striker?
Yeah, what's his name again?
Doesn't he know the identity, the DNA of Manchester United?
He should, you would think so, but it just didn't work.
Can I remind the people who have no access to Google in the homeland of Google that if you Google the first game of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and compare them with Xavi, you will find some similarities. Maybe the Norwegian was better.
Whoa, Jan, what are you doing?
That is stats. That is numbers.
We compare Solskjaer's first game with Xavi's first game. That's it.
I will say that the first game Solskjaer had for Manchester United, I don't have the numbers in my head, but you remember he won 8 or 9 of his first games for Manchester United. As Warren Buffett say, life is about numbers.
And what identity did he bring to that side, Jan? That's the problem, isn't it, with Manchester United?
Exactly, and that is a more interesting discussion because Xavi will do that. He will try to get that back in again. But also for Barcelona, it's the same for every other manager who takes over a club after it's been a disastrous, and no disrespect to Ronald Koeman, it was a disastrous. It will take time to turn him into a title contender, and that is the measurement of Barcelona. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was second last season without seeing that identity starting into a new season, and then you're gone.
Xhaka, is Tammy Abraham the most underrated signing of the season? He's got 23 goals already and Mourinho has labelled him a monster, which clearly means something.
He's done well. surprisingly well. I like Tammy Abraham, but just wasn't the right fit for Chelsea. But has found his place in Roma and well done to him.
What's interesting, Jan, before we went to air, said he could score 30 goals in Serie A.
Yeah, but I mean, let's put it, it's not easy to score goals in Italy. I mean, that is, it's a tough league to score goals in. And I think this is all about trust. Maybe if Tammy Abraham will have the same trust with a Thomas Tuchel or a Chelsea, he will do his stuff. But it's all the matter of who will trust you. And he's got that in Mourinho and his numbers are sensational.
Yeah, and when the manager is laying out the tactics game plan before the game, how often do players speak up and say they disagree? Does the team just follow orders even though they know it's the wrong game plan?
Yes, absolutely. That's what you do. I've had games. I mean, my former manager, Felix Magath, is this week coming back to Hertha Berlin. They're winning 3-0 against Hoffenheim, although he was out with COVID, but they still managed to win. And I remember a game we played in Stuttgart, and I was on a bench. I had a look when the team went out. I was looking at his game plan. I couldn't understand anything. I didn't get it. I didn't know the numbers. I didn't get anything. We won 3-0. So sometimes it's better to just shut up.
Okay.
I'd like to hear Jan on this. Oh. I remember I played with a couple of Dutch players who always said that in Holland it was almost encouraged for the players to speak up. Wow. English players didn't. English players, the manager says something, you go out and you do it. Whether you think it's right or wrong, you do it. But the Dutch had a different understanding around that. They'd speak up and let their fears be known. I don't know what Jan felt in all his travels in world football.
No, but I think it's a good point, but I think that we've played both, Xhaka, with Dutch players. I mean, they're much more involved in all that kind of thing. So they're coming from a different culture. I think that in Holland, they talk much more about tactics from early ages, the Ajax way, the Feyenoord way, the PSV way of thinking. But I mean, in my generation, we were not allowed to say anything about tactic. I mean, maybe at the end of my career, when I came over 30, I dared to say to the manager, why don't you play me? But it took me some time before you had
rubbish.
That. But yeah.
You're
but
old, I said, well,
but I all said, but I still score goals, Gaffer. Yeah, I don't care. But But the Dutch players, they always had that, some would say a bit arrogance to their mm-hmm. way of doing that, because they always had opinions. No, we should play one out left and he should come in and the left foot should come in right and all that. But I think we're done. If you ask me, when the manager, the gaffer, has decided the strategy and the tactic, then there are not many people who stand up against that. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's end the show with a slightly different tone. It is World Poetry Day. Do you want to hear my poem to Jan?
Yes, I do.
There was a man called Jan who believed he was friends with Haaland, but he was left shocked when the big striker swapped Dortmund for Shaka's West Ham.
Yes!
Well done.
That's how I spent my day.
But far more productive than usual.
Yeah, no, very much so.
Well done. I think the best one you did there, Dan. I mean, I can see you are a poetry. That should be your profession. I can see that. I think
definitely.
It was tough. Yeah, I think it was deaf one from Jan to Haaland. I think that was a tough one.
Poetic license, it's called, actually.
Yeah,
Jan.
Exactly.
When you're in the field, you know about it. This is Kay to Stevie. There was a man called Steve in gourmet food he did not believe. Shepherd's pie was his wish for every single dish, but no sweet corn, or he might heave. Couple for you, Shaka. Couple for you.
Okay.
There once was a goalie named Shaka who almost got scored on by Macca. His style wasn't pretty, but sometimes he's witty. He now has a key to a city.
Yes! Yes.
Very good. Last one. Another one for Shaka. There was a man named Shaka Hislop. He loved to vacation non-stop. But when the time came to make a diving save, Ronaldo's first United goal, he could not stop.
That was awful.
That is a false. That is a false use of poetry.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Sid wrote some, but they had expletives in them.
It's been that kind of weekend for Sid, isn't it?
I know exactly.
Yeah, it's been.
Not necessary. It's just a lack of vocabulary that he can't grasp, really, the heart of poetry, and he has to drag it down to that level.
No.
Spoken like a true poet.
Exactly.
Student of the art form.
There's a Nobel Prize somewhere for you in literature, Dan. So
I think it's definitely.
It's in Sweden, and I will invite you to Norway at the same trip when you get that trophy in Sweden.
Beautiful. I will look forward to that. That's it. We are done. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Thank you for everyone who sent us poetry as well. Oh, that was fun. ESPN FC. Yep, that's what I call fun these days. Oh, ESPN FC is back on your screens tomorrow. Be sure to join us.